obviously invited, so call me back.
Okay, I love you. Bye.
What's up, you guys, and welcome back to Emotionally Online, the show for spilling guts and sharing secrets, hosted by yours truly, the one and only Maddie Drosbeck. And today I'm joined by my adorable, effortlessly gorgeous co-host, Mango the Gooey Girl. Mango, do you have anything to say? And we love her for that. I think it's so funny that she decides that the second I start doing things is the second she needs me to hold her and do all this. She has been in my Nuuly box all day, just sitting in the box, having a little nap. And then the second I pick up the microphone and get all my equipment out, she's like, actually, it's time for you to hold me. Actually, that's so weird that you thought that now was the scheduled time for you to work, because that's not what's happening. You actually have to hold me right now. It's her world. I'm just living in it. It's her apartment. She's shedding like a motherfucker right now. I actually feel like I'm covered in cat hair right now. I definitely am. But it's like, you know, when you're just like, I feel like I could just keep touching my face forever, because I'm like, there's definitely hair on my face that I just can't. I'm just always covered in hair. It's fine. It's just the way it has to be. There are certain things you just have to accept as a pet owner. Being covered in hair is one of them. All of your things being covered in hair. Listen, I lint roll every fucking day. It does not matter. I'm telling you. There are some things you just gotta let go of. And that's one of them. I've actually been trying to do that more in my life in general. Like, I hate when my apartment's not in, like, tip-top shape. When there's, like, even a little bit of mess. Like, right now, my apartment is clean. Everyone always makes fun of me because people come in here and I'm like, sorry, it's a little messy. And they're like, where's the mess? But, like, to me, right now, I don't have room in my one cabinet pantry for my groceries. Usually, like, day one, day two of when I go grocery shopping, some stuff has to be on the counter because I just don't have anywhere to put it. And I hate it so much, truly. It sucks to me. I don't like it. But that's been something I've been working to accept, because I'm like, Maddie, you live here. A home can look like a home. It can look lived in. It doesn't have to look so perfect all the time, you know? Like, this is a clean apartment. Just because you have a loaf of bread and a stack of bagels sitting on the counter for a few days, like, you're good. It's fine. You do live here. You're allowed to look like you live here. But really, it does take all of my energy to be okay with that. I get so irritated with it. Oh my God. Speaking of apartment drama, there's been so much drama in my building lately, which I don't know if I've talked about this on the show before, but there is like a group chat that everyone in my building is a part of. And quite literally, all it is people fighting about laundry, which I've lived here for 2 years and I've never personally experienced any of what they fight about in that group chat. I don't know if I've just gotten so fucking lucky to have avoided the laundry room at all of the times that these things are going on. I guess it probably makes sense that I could avoid it because I am probably doing my laundry at weird times because I work from home and do this shit. And so I'm assuming most people are doing their laundry at nights and on like Sunday nights or Sunday during the day in general. I'm probably doing my laundry at like Tuesday at 10 a.m. So I really don't have this issue or run into many people in the laundry room at all. But the entire group chat is people going to fucking war with each other, because I guess what was happening for a while was people were leaving their laundry in the washers and dryers for like days. So someone would go down there, throw their clothes in, and then just like fucking forget about it, which is such a strange thing to do to me. I don't know. I learn about other people every day of my life and I'm like, how do you do it? Like, how do you get through the day? How do you do it? Because I just don't understand how some people operate. Like, I would panic and freak the fuck out if I forgot my laundry down there for more than like 2 hours. Because I'm like, those are my things. Those are my belongings. I care about them. Like, I don't want them just like sitting in a damp washer and I don't want somebody else to touch my stuff or steal my stuff. So like, obviously I just want to go get it. I don't know. So it's like, yeah, you set an alarm on your phone so that you know when your laundry goes off. This is like simple human things, very easy task. Sometimes I see these people that have an issue with like the most basic of things. And I'm like, how do you do it? How do you just do things in life? How do you get through the day? I think I'm stressed out, but I would be so stressed out if I was you. But I guess there was a lot of people in my building that were doing that. And like, it's one thing to do it once, to just forget it, slips your mind, something happens. And it's another thing to like do it all the time, or when it's like half the building that's doing it. So it reached a point where all of the washers and dryers were full down there, which there's a lot down there. They're all full for at least more than an hour. I was like, damn, what the fuck? And so people just started ripping the clothes out of the washers and dryers and throwing them on the tables down there. And the clothes just sit there in a pile on the table in the laundry room perpetually. People do not come and get their clothes. I'm like, this is so confusing. Do you guys not care about your belongings? Like, what happened? I don't know. I don't know what's going on. But then you also have the other people that are now so far gone on the, they've like passed the point of no return with the taking people's shit out of laundry machines thing, which really you shouldn't do. But if all the machines are full for days on end and people aren't picking them up, I understand why someone would be like, oh, fuck you, and just rip the shit out. But some people take it a bit too far. They like commit to the bit a little bit too much and they start ripping people's shit out the machines after they've left them there for like 15 minutes. And it's like, okay, relax. Like, nobody's like, it's not the end of the world if your alarm for your laundry goes off and you don't immediately go down there that very second. Like, we can fucking relax. But the beef is too deep at this point. It's been going on for too long. All people do is fight in that group chat. I personally love it. It is very entertaining to me personally. But I am sort of in an apartment beef of my own. And I am seeking justice for myself, but also companionship in discovering who the actual culprit is, because I'm being framed. So basically, I, on multiple occasions, have received a noise complaint from my downstairs neighbor. I've gotten multiple calls from my building being like, hey, we're getting a noise complaint from the people living below you. They're asking if you can stop bouncing the ball. And I'm not fucking kidding you when I say both times that this has happened, I have been sitting on this couch doing nothing. And for like an extended period of time. Because at first I was like, was I like walking loudly? Was I like trying on a pair of heels and maybe the walking sounds like bouncing? Was Mango going crazy? Like, was there something that could be attributed to bouncing a ball? Something that could sound like that? I don't know. But both times, I swear to fucking God, I've been sitting on this couch in the middle of watching a podcast or movie. Haven't moved, haven't done anything. So each time my building has called me, I've been like, I'm not doing anything. I'm sitting here in silence. So you should call them and tell them they've got the wrong person. Like, let them know that whoever they're hearing is not me. It happened again this weekend. Get another phone call. I'm sitting right here in this very spot watching a podcast on the TV. Get the phone call. And I was like, okay, listen, this has happened multiple times at this point. Can you please just tell them to come up here and fucking talk to me then? Because if they come up here and talk to me face to face, they're going to see that it's not me. Me? Bouncing a ball? What ball am I going to be bouncing? Be serious for a second. Do you even think I own a ball? Do I look like the type of person that owns balls? What am I going to do with a ball? Do I have any business owning a ball? What would a ball do in this apartment? Nothing. There are no balls that have any business in this apartment, okay? No balls of any kind. Balls have been banned here for a very long time. So this is my beef with people in my building, where I feel like maybe they've gotten too comfortable bitching about each other in the group chat that they forgotten that you can have face-to-face interactions with your neighbors. So if you think, if you are my downstairs neighbor and you think that I am up here just with a ball doing God knows what, I don't know what the fuck I'd be doing with a ball, but you think I'm up here doing that and you're so fucking irritated with me, because fair enough, if I was doing that, I'm sure it would be irritating. However, you've got the wrong guy. It's not me. I'm not bouncing any such balls. So I wish my downstairs neighbor would just come up here, knock on my door, and yell at me straight to my face, because they would learn very quickly that it is not me. And actually, I would like to join their team in discovering who this is, because the other day, dead silence in here. It was like the day after it got reported, sent in that noise complaint. The very next day, I'm sitting here, dead silence, and in the distance I hear dong, 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 and I was like, that does sound like a ball being bounced, but it's so faint that I can't really hear it. If it's dead silent and they're doing it, I could hear it in that moment, and I was like, huh, there is a ball being bounced, but it's not me, it's not either of my next door neighbors, because it's so faint I don't think it's on my floor. I think that it's probably their next door neighbor. So like my diagonal downwards neighbor. And they're thinking that it's me for some reason. I couldn't fucking tell you. I don't understand what's going on. I just know that I'm being blamed for all of this. And I don't know if the building has called my neighbor back to be like, yeah, she said it's not her. I doubt they are. I think they're probably just calling me being like, yeah, they're complaining about you. And I'm like, well, it's not me. You can tell them to complain about their other neighbors because I'm not the one. I don't do shit, babe. I sit here and I type on my little computer and I kiss Mango on the forehead and I have a little giggle by myself. That's literally all I do in here. If you're going to write a noise complaint about me as a neighbor, well, to be honest, I don't think I have many faults as a neighbor. I actually think I'm very pleasant to live next to. I don't blast music ever, definitely not super late. I don't throw parties. At most, I have 6 people in here for a dinner party. Everyone's gone by midnight. But it's like, we're not loud. Nobody can hear shit at my dinner parties. Because like, I can hear... If I'm in the hallway, I can hear when my neighbors have people over, and some of them have thrown like parties, and I can hear the parties when I'm in my apartment, but not when I'm in my bedroom. It's like in the living room, I can through the door, which is fine. I honestly don't care. That's the other part of why I'm a great neighbor to live next to. I'm not going to complain about you because I don't give a fuck. I'm just easygoing. I'm just a low maintenance gal. I'm just kidding. I'm absolutely not. But as a neighbor, I am. Not that I'm high maintenance. I just think I like to live a particular way. But as a neighbor, I'm like, yeah, I understand I live in an apartment building. Like, it's not going to be dead silent all the time. I'm not expecting it to be. My expectations are at a reasonable place. Anyways, getting off topic here. I just don't appreciate that I'm being framed for someone else's doing. Because what the fuck am I going to do with a ball? I'm a little offended that they think that I would be bouncing balls. That's humiliating. Me bouncing a ball? It's like so confusing. So, I don't know. We'll see if they keep calling me. I hope they just come up here one day. I hope that they just get so irritated they come up here and they say, you know what? I need to talk to this bitch. Fucking do it. Because you'll find out real quickly it's not me. Unless they came up here and like really yelled at me, in which case I think I might cry. Because I swear it's not me. But I feel like they're probably so mad that they're not even going to believe me when I say it's not me. It's not me though, I swear to God. I feel like being like, listen, I know you keep reporting me for this alleged ball bouncing, but I am not your girl. I'm not the one. I would like to team up with you to figure out who the nuisance actually is, because I love a little bit of drama. So I will join you in this. Here's my phone number. Next time you hear it, just call me. Just FaceTime me and I will show you what I'm doing so you can see me sitting idly doing nothing while the noise persists. I will prove my innocence. You will not associate me with a ball without a little bit of fight. All right? I will not stand for this. Me? With a ball? But you know what? It's the spice of life to me. I do love a little harmless apartment drama. I love watching people fight about stupid things like laundry or ball bouncing. That's fun. That's fun because it literally doesn't fucking matter. Boring. Normie shit. Let's fight about normie shit. I love it. Anyways, I don't believe I was able to hit any submissions last week, so we've got a lot of them in the inbox, babes, and I've pulled out a bunch that I think are worth chatting about, so I figured we can just dive into a few of these topics today. I love how interactive this show has become, by the way, just have to say. The amount of submissions I get in this inbox now are, like, it's pretty remarkable how many come in every single day. And I just love that you guys are open to sharing and are so engaged with the Emotionally Online universe, the Emotionally Online cinematic universe, community, family, friendship, sisterhood. I'm just thinking about other words. I just love how active this community is, and I feel very grateful for it. The podcast is currently my favorite thing to work on. So, yeah, I just deeply appreciate all of you guys and makes me even more excited to drop the Emotionally Online merch that's coming very soon. Because I would just love and live to see more of you guys repping the show. Before I get into the submissions, though, I guess this is sort of somewhat related, because there's a question in here that I want to talk about that's sort of about this, but also not at all. But I was watching Wine About It earlier today, which is the podcast that Cutie Cinderella and Maya do together, which I love Cutie Cinderella. She's like one of my favorite people on the internet. But in the beginning of one of the recent episodes, Cutie was talking about how she was having a conversation with Hassan on Hassan and Will's podcast, Fear And. I don't know who else hosts besides Hassan. But anyways, Cutie was talking with them on that show about someone had brought up people that say they love blowjobs, giving blowjobs, I mean. And Hassan had said something to the tune of, like, people who love giving blowjobs are better at giving blowjobs. And Cutie was like, who lied to you and said that anyone loves giving a blowjob? Which I just think is so funny. The whole conversation I was laughing at, I was like, like, Maya was like, yeah, who said that to him? No one loves giving a blowjob. Like, you can enjoy it, you can like it, but, like, at the end of the day, gun to your head, if you can pick giving a blowjob versus getting eaten out as a woman, what are you gonna pick? Be honest. Be so fucking for real right now. And I was like, yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's like, I wouldn't say that I love giving a blowjob. I enjoy giving head, but not for the act of giving head itself, just because I enjoy when my partners get off. It makes me feel good to watch them get off and to be the one inflicting that. But there's nothing specific to a blowjob that I'm like, I love that. In fact, I really don't love giving blowjobs. I enjoy giving head. It was what I'm saying making sense. I enjoy it because I enjoy inflicting pleasure, not because I'm, like, really into the physical act of a blowjob. But that whole conversation was just so funny to me. And it made me think about, I was talking to my friends about this a couple weeks ago, but we were talking about how I can't deal with that, like, small subsection of DJ Khaled ass men on the internet that complain about eating pussy, or they, like, refuse to, and they're like, it's gross, vaginas fucking disgusting, bro. I just can't. I hate these DJ Khaled ass men that are like anti eating pussy. And I don't think I fully understood how annoying those people are until I ate pussy. And then I was like, what the fuck are you guys complaining about? Seriously, honestly, and genuinely, having done both, having been someone that has given multiple genres of head, I can tell you that one is significantly easier and more enjoyable than the other one. The fact that anyone would complain about eating pussy is actually beyond me, because it's got to be the easiest fucking thing. Not to flex. That's not even a flex, actually. It's not even close to a flex. It is just easy. Like, physically, it is easy on your jaw. I could sit and do that for an extended period of time. With a blowjob, my jaw starts to like literally unhinge after 30 seconds. I push through because I'm a fucking trooper. But make no mistake, I'm like physically uncomfortable giving head a lot of the time. This is why I like small dicks. I've always said that. You run it back. I've always said that I prefer a small penis for multiple reasons. One, it just feels better. Who a part of like the big dick industrial complex is lying to all of us and making everyone think that the majority of people are searching for a big dick? I'm telling you right now, that's not happening. That is a lie. These people are, they're gossiping through the streets. This is not happening, okay? You get in the whispers in the right circles and anyone will tell you that small to average is totally good. Actually, anything bigger than average, I'm having a fucking panic attack. Because it hurts. I can give a blowjob to a small dick over an extended period of time and that's fine. I won't have any jaw issues. It'll be like nothing. But eating pussy is easier than that. It is just, you just do it. It's like, really, it's not like a physical task, you know? It's very easy. It's very natural. So I feel like, oh, fuck you guys, even more to men that are like anti-giving women head, because I'm like, you are such a wuss. I'm talking specifically the people that are like, a blowjob is the most important thing that can happen to me, but I will not eat pussy. Eating pussy? Well, don't want to do that. Or the people that are like, they expect you to go down on them without ever having to ask, but then you will have sex with them like 10 times and have to ask them to go down on you. Like, they will never go down on you without you explicitly asking. My truth is that I'm always going to love a forbidden romance trope, and you guys know I love a spicy read. But what if the forbidden romance was also a cowboy romance? A hot, steamy, former pro bull rider with an employee that's slowly falling in love with him. If you're a fan of contemporary cowboy romances by authors like Bailey Hanna, Lila Sage, Elsie Silver, or Paisley Hope, you will absolutely love Taming of the Heart by Elliot Rose, which is a part of the Crimson Ridge series. Each book in the series reads as a standalone, but they all take place in the same remote small town, and they're all, of course, very spicy. Taming of the Heart is super spicy. It has very explicit sexual imagery and language throughout, which obviously is exactly what I signed up for. And it basically just drops you right into what it would be like to be hired by a ranch for the summer, except your boss is unreasonably hot, literally looks like every fantasy and daydream you've ever had come to life. Oh, and he's already accidentally seen your favorite toy. Okay, you're the eldest daughter. You lock your heart away safely out of sight, but then boom, a former pro bull rider, much older than you, with a mustache, might I add, that makes you weak at the knees, shows up. He's the whole package, and he's luring you in with glimpses of what it might be like to let your guard down for the first time in your entire life. I know you guys are going to love it. I've been sucked in from the moment I picked it up. You can find Taming of the Heart by Elliot Rose wherever books are sold, in print and in ebook, and you can learn more by checking out Kensington Publishing at kensingtonbooks.com. They're not concerned unless you call them out for it directly. I'm just like, why? Like, what's your excuse? I've done both, Bestiana, all right? And I'm telling you, you've got an easier job than I do. But anyways, yeah, I do think that's an interesting conversation, though, of like, does anyone truly love giving head? I'm not talking enjoy, because obviously you can enjoy giving head, but like gun to your head, you can only have one thing for the rest of your life, giving or receiving. Be serious. Be so serious, because your answer is not giving, it's receiving. And that's okay, but be serious. And they were like, Cutie and Maya were like, yeah, people just say that because it makes men excited to hear a woman be like, oh, I love giving head. I'm sure I've said that too, to be honest. We've all said it. Be honest. How many times have you said, oh, I love giving head? When you didn't really mean love, you meant enjoy. It's okay. I don't hate it. So I was cracking up about that earlier, but it reminded me of a submission that I saw come into the box that I was sitting here just like talking to myself for 20 minutes after I got this submission, because I was like, hello. This submission says, in your opinion, is giving men head degrading to women? I came across a Twitter thread with a lot of support, with the person stating that it is, and that women who don't think so are blind to how disgusting of an act it is. Men were also quote tweeting it, saying that it is, and that's why they enjoy it. Now that I think about it, the porn I've seen with blowjobs has been degrading and violent. I'm currently in a partnership with a man, and we both give each other head equally. I never thought of it as degrading, since we both do it and enjoy doing it for each other. I guess there have been times where I felt weird after intercourse with my partner, but I just chalked it up to my sexual trauma. Now I feel uncomfortable, and I'm second guessing on if what I'm doing is degrading for me, and if my partner's viewing me in that way. What do you think? Now, my first reaction to reading this was to be like, this seems like a perfect example of when people go so far left, they end up on the right. This seems to just encapsulate that perfectly, because it saying something like, all instances of giving men head is degrading to women, and any woman that doesn't think so is blind to how disgusting of an act it is. If I said that quote out of this context and was like, guess who said that? Like, how many of you would say that it came from like some hyper conservative Christian talking head? Probably most of you. Which, I don't know, maybe this person is that, but in my head, I read it as like, the people that become so critical of sex and the culture of sex that we live in, to the point where they end up totally on the other side of the spectrum, which I think that takes like this lack so much nuance. And I have to imagine that the people who say things like this are struggling with a lot of trauma themselves, which is where this like black and white thinking comes from. But no, I don't think that giving men head is degrading to women in an overall context. Are there situations where giving head can be degrading? Absolutely. There are sexists, misogynists, shitty, abusive people out there that can make that act incredibly degrading. And I think the example of porn is a great example. There is a lot of porn that plays to that, because unfortunately there are a lot of sick people that get off on abusive and borderline abusive pornography. Because those people exist, does that mean that there is no instance where a couple, two people can do oral and have it not be degrading or awful and icky? And that just doesn't make sense to me. I think it's a take that it breaks everything down to being black or white. This thing good, this thing bad. This thing bad, this thing good. When in reality, everything is always a mix of both. There are absolutely context situations where people do disgusting, awful, degrading things, particularly with blowjobs. And I think that like, it's great to reflect and criticize the sort of culture and dialogue that we have around sex, but you need to like make sure you stay in the nuance of that conversation and not just go all the way to the end of like, well, this sucks and this thing that I'm witnessing happen sucks, so therefore it's all bad. because I think that I get where it comes from, right? I've felt similar frustrations of like seeing how degrading and awful some people can be, I think, particularly around college age, in college settings, frat culture, Greek life. There is a lot of conversation around that age group that really encourages young men to be degrading towards women during sex, that it is cool or powerful for them to do so, that it is hot, that it's sexy. Maybe it's even a part of hazing, all this shit that happens, right? And I think that's so awful. And I mean, this has been something I've talked about when I've talked about why I don't have casual sex anymore and why that doesn't interest me. And it's because of this, because I was noticing that in so many of the casual relationships, casual encounters that I was having, there was such a lack of care and of like gentleness, of softness with the people I was having sex with. And I was realizing that that really didn't work for me. And in my opinion, I think that even in the most casual dynamics, you should still require a baseline of care and softness from your partner in order to gain consent. I think that just because you're not dating each other doesn't mean you don't give a fuck about each other. I think part of consent is caring about your partner. You know what I mean? And I think that a lot of these college settings and beyond that, because what people learn at that age, unfortunately, they just keep fucking doing in their 20s. I'm 26 now and I have had experiences. Well, I guess I haven't had casual sex in a while, but I have friends that have still are having these same sorts of experiences now, dating people in our mid-20s, where people think that caring is like the antithesis to casual. So because it's a casual dynamic, they can't care at all. It's not cool to care. It's not sexy to care. It's overwhelming to care. When really, I believe that caring and being soft and gentle with your partners, communicating with your partners, is so important to actually gaining consent for all that consent means. And but I understand that frustration of like, why is so much of sex so degrading to women? Why are there so many people that feel that it's okay to treat women like this, to, during a blowjob, hold your head down without ever asking you if that's an okay thing to do? Other aggressive things that people do during sex without ever asking. I totally, truly, honestly, and deeply understand that frustration. I feel it too. But to say that all instances of giving blowjobs are degrading, to me just feels like you're throwing away what would otherwise be a really interesting and nuanced conversation into the culture we have around sex and how a lot of young men are socialized into believing that degrading sex is owed to them, or that that's what is the sexiest, coolest, most masculine thing to do. I think going so far to the point of saying that all oral is degrading to women, I just feel like you miss out on like the meat and potatoes of that conversation. You're just wiping past all of the interesting points that could be made to go down the path of like what basically feels like slut shaming. Because do you think people are going to stop having oral sex? Like, what do you think the solution is there? And by saying that all oral is degrading, and that any woman that doesn't think so is basically an idiot and they're blind to how disgusting it is. Like, that sucks. That's a stupid take, in my opinion, because now you're going to make people feel guilty for having oral, even when they're in loving partnerships with people that do deeply respect them. You're going to make them feel like they're like a gender traitor. because it's degrading to women to participate in that. Like, it you start to go down like a very slut-shamey road, and I just think it's black and white thinking that ultimately like halts the conversation and makes it so that we're not even talking about the interesting parts of that conversation. So obviously my response here is that no, I don't think that all oral is degrading. It can be. There are lots of shitty people out there, but in no world do I think in every scenario head is degrading. And as far as what you mentioned here about times where you felt weird after intercourse with your current partner, and worrying that they may see you that way, I can't tell you what kind of person your partner is. There's a lot of sexist, misogynistic douchebags out there. I will assume for the purposes of this question that you are not dating someone like that. And if you are dealing with past sexual traumas popping up and sort of triggering you during sex, I think that's a great conversation, a necessary conversation to have with your partner. I don't think it has to mean anything larger of like all oral is bad. It is probably just a situation of you were having sex with your partner. They did something, acted in some way. You guys did something together that maybe triggered a past experience that you've been through. Maybe it's difficult for some other reason, and it's just bubbling up in that moment, and you left feeling a little uncomfortable. That is totally fine. That is just a conversation that you open up with your partner so that moving forward, you guys can create a space where you're able to feel comfortable and cared for. I think this is another big reason why sex aftercare is so important, because I think that when you are feeling like something is wrong after sex, when you're in like a trusted partnership with someone, I think it's so great to be able to say that in the moment and to bring that to light, to sort of take, I guess, the power away from it a little bit and be like, I feel really weird right now. I just need you to sort of like be soft and gentle and loving to me. Just hold me, cuddle me for a minute, because yeah, I don't have all the answers for why I feel this way, but something is bubbling up inside me. Perhaps it is connected to old sexual traumas, and I just need you to be gentle with me. Sex can bring up a lot, and like, I don't think we need all the answers, you know, right away. We don't need those answers. Therapy is obviously great for breaking down these things and understanding ourselves better, but if you feel like your partner is not being gentle or soft or loving enough towards you during sex and that makes you uncomfortable, that's worth bringing up. If they touch you or treat your body in ways that make you feel like they are not seeing you and that is making you uncomfortable, absolutely worth talking about. I look back to sexual situations that I've had, and there have absolutely been moments in my life where I was having sex with someone and I felt like they weren't necessarily having sex with me. It was like I was just like, I could have been anybody. I was like a faceless figure to them. I was a body. And obviously my experiences are not in long-term loving relationships, which is why I hesitate to even compare what I've experienced to what you're feeling, because I want to assume that you are in like a loving, supportive relationship, and this is maybe just past trauma that's bubbling up, but it is otherwise not something to be super critical about when it comes to like your specific relationship. But I've been in situations when I was younger where I just felt like the people I was with were quite aggressive and at times violent, and the communication was really not great, and they didn't seem to prioritize my pleasure at all. It was more about like using me like a sex doll, which those memories are harder to look back on, and I think I've definitely, you know, discovered, I mentioned this briefly in another episode about like what I realized about my sex life post the Me Too movement, and like realizing that I had been assaulted when I was younger on multiple occasions had had sexual experiences that were really violent and degrading, and it wasn't my fault that I was treated that way, and I didn't even realize that it was wrong or that I wasn't, or that it was okay that I felt poorly. Like, unfortunately, there are a lot of people, specifically college-aged men, that are really encouraged to behave like that. And it is difficult to speak up and say that you are uncomfortable about it. So anyways, sort of getting off track here, but I deeply understand the feeling, and I think that most of us do, but I don't think it's productive to say that all oral is bad or degrading, because I don't think that's the case. And I almost think that by saying that's the case, we close ourselves off from being able to experience like really gentle, loving intimacy where our partners take care of us and we're able to exchange pleasure without it being something so violent. Next submission we've got here says, "Hi Maddie, thank you for taking the time to read my submission. You have been an inspiration to me for many years. I am facing a romantic quandary, and who better to advise me than our very own modern day Aphrodite?" That is so generous. I love that comparison, and you knew I was gonna love it. "I am deeply in love with my boyfriend, and we have been together about a year and a half. We're both on the cusp of turning 24. I have been offered the incredible opportunity to live abroad in Europe next year, something I've dreamt of working to earn since the beginning of college. I am overjoyed to start this new chapter of my life, but I am presented with the heart-wrenching question of whether or not my boyfriend will be a part of it. Part of me knows that international long distance would be such a trial, not to mention how it may affect my mindset while I'm away, less open to new opportunities, less likely to renew my job offer, my mind being elsewhere, etc. But another part of me knows that I have never been loved so tenderly by another person, and the spiritual connection we share is not something that comes around every day. I feel as though I've gotten everything I've ever wanted, and now I have to let something go." First of all, congratulations. That is so exciting. To be able to live and work abroad in Europe and, you know, sort of live out your dreams in that way at age 24 is really amazing and exciting. So first and foremost, congratulations. You deserve it. And I hope it is amazing and incredible. As for your relationship, I think that it's okay to not have all the answers, and it's also okay to make a decision here and have it be the wrong decision later on. I think what is maybe going to be comforting to you during this time is to know that any decision that you make does not have to be the end-all be-all decision. Things can change. We can move through, figure out what works, what doesn't work, what feels good, what doesn't feel good. Take a break, end things, come back, open up doors. Whatever decision you do make doesn't have to be the forever decision. I think that for a lot of people, long distance relationships can work. Obviously, I've never been in a long distance relationship, so I don't have much advice for how to do that. But I have known many people in my life to be in successful long-term relationships. I do hear what you're saying. International is a little hard with the time differences and all, depending on where in the States you are. I mean, even on East Coast, a 6-hour time difference is not great to most of Europe. So I hear that, and it's definitely not going to be easy. But if this connection really truly is so special, I think that it is worth trying to see if you can move through this together and see what you can build here that works for the both of you. I empathize with all of your worries of like, is this going to distract me? Is my heart going to be somewhere else? Am I going to be less open to new opportunities? But also, I want you to like trust yourself a little bit here to make the right decisions for you. I think that you seem self-aware enough to know when you're making a decision because your heart wants it versus it's what you think other people want you to do, or, you know, prioritizing yourself and your own future over the futures of the people around you or your joint futures with other people. I think that, like, if this is your dream and this is something you've worked towards and you're so excited about, like, obviously you should charge at this full force. And if you and your partner have this amazing, you know, super tender, gentle love connection, I think it can survive that. And you can find ways to make it work together. But let's say, hypothetically, you do try to do long distance and you find out that it's not really working and you want to break up so that you can focus on this chapter of your life and doing things for yourself. Number one, that's a fine conclusion to come to. And number two, like I said earlier, that doesn't have to be the final conclusion. I think that, like, especially when you're so young, you would be truly missing out to not charge towards this opportunity and to prioritize yourself. And if this connection truly is this, like, cosmic spiritual connection, I believe in my heart of hearts that you would find your way back to each other. And maybe that's the hopeful romantic in me, but I really do believe that when people are meant for each other like that, that, like, you should be able to prioritize yourself in life, to go down separate paths, and life will bring you back together if it is actually meant to be in the long run. I just think it would be, like, I don't know, my, like, faith in the universe, it wouldn't make sense to me if, you know, you met someone that was so perfect for you at 23 and then the universe was like, and that's what we gave you. So actually you have to stay here for the rest of your life and get married and start having these babies now. Like, I don't think that, like, just because you've met someone at such a young age that you do feel you are so compatible with, I don't think that just because you feel this way means that you should be, like, minimizing opportunities that you're being given, or, you know, deprioritizing yourself because of this relationship. I think long distance works sometimes. And maybe you're long distance for a few years and maybe they move to Europe. You never know what life is going to, you know, throw at you or how things are going to change. So I wish you luck. And I believe in my heart of hearts that, like, the universe will sort of take care of you in that way. And you don't have to worry about it. All right. Next up, we've got someone that says, hi, Maddie. This is something I've been thinking about lately that I'd like to get your opinion on. I love sex, but I haven't been in a relationship for a while, so my sex life with other people hasn't been very active for a few years. Same. I have lots of vibrators, and I feel like I have a very healthy sex life. Lately, though, I've been wondering if that has been keeping me from going out and seeking relationships with other people, because I don't need that to feel fulfilled sexually. I do miss being intimate with people in a sexual way, but I can't tell if my self-sex routine is actively keeping me from pursuing those relationships. And even if it is that so bad? Do you have any advice for balancing a healthy sex life with going out to pursue new relationships? So I thought this was a very interesting question, because I feel like I'm in a pretty similar phase of life to whoever wrote this. I don't really have sex that frequently. I mean, like, I have sex, but not like that. I used to, like, be fucking, but now I'm not getting around like that anymore. But similarly to the person that submitted this, also have a very vibrant self-sex life with many a vibrator. We have a great time over here. There's no shortage of orgasms happening despite me not having sex as often as I used to. And for me, my sort of take on that has been, it's been largely positive for me to be having sex less, and you know, a lot of that comes from me realizing that casual sex wasn't for me. So having less sex at this point in my life feels more in alignment with where I'm at right now. I realized that I do need a little bit more trust and security in relationships to feel comfortable with that level of intimacy. And, you know, I still go on dates all the time. I put myself out there. I love making out with people as much as the next person. I love getting handsy as much as the next person, you know, like I'm not closed off to experiencing, certain levels of intimacy with people that I'm less close with, but I'm not having penetrative sex with people that I'm not really, we're in this together. And that was a boundary that I set that, like, obviously has resulted in me having less sex, but I feel so much better setting that boundary and being like, yeah, penetrative sex is like kind of off the table for me unless I feel comfortable with you. And honestly, I feel like being more aware and in touch with what my personal boundaries are and what I feel comfortable with sharing sexually with other people, what parts of myself I feel comfortable sharing, and like how well I need to know those people in order to share those parts of myself. Just being aware of what I feel comfortable with has made me feel a lot more comfortable saying no, which has also resulted in me having less sex. But again, these are all like positive things. But like similar to you, obviously these decisions, me choosing to have less sex and setting more firm boundaries, saying no more often, that doesn't change the fact that my sex drive is my sex drive. I feel the way I feel. So I have lots of vibrators. We love masturbation in this house. Orgasms are fuel for the body. And obviously it hasn't impacted my sex drive at all, but I will say that I definitely over time, like I think to me, like living in alignment with my boundaries and honoring my boundaries, I don't feel sexual urges towards like strangers that I'm dating. You know what I mean? Not at those stages of things. Like I am a very sexual person. When I'm on a first date with someone, I might feel very attracted to someone. I might be sitting there like, I want to make the fuck out with them. I want to get a little flirty. I want to get a little handsy. I would kind of love if they touched my nipple. But I'm not sitting there thinking like I need to have penetrative sex right now because I don't want to. So it's like, I don't even really have the urges to because I feel just like so in alignment with the boundaries I'm setting where I'm like that. I don't want that with someone that I don't have a certain level of trust and comfort with at this point in my life. I guess for me, I don't see it as being something that has prevented me from exploring new relationships, intimate relationships, but rather just something that has made it a lot easier for me to say no. It's made me feel more comfortable saying no, walking away from things that I'm not totally into. And it's obviously resulted in less sex. It's a net positive. So I feel like it's a good thing. Like you don't have to have any sex that you don't want to have. If all you want to do right now is masturbate within the walls of your own home, then do it. You know, like I feel like I've gone through a lot of different phases of my life, and who knows, maybe I will enter a phase of my life where I'm open to casual dynamics again, if they look a specific way, because obviously I'm not down for casual sex in the way that it's been, taught to young people. With like the lack of care and all of that. But maybe there will be a point in my life where I'm open to casual relationships again. Things change. Right now, if you're in a phase of your life where you're like, you know, I'm feeling sexual, I'm feeling hot, I'm feeling sexy and free. I'm not having sex with other people as often, but like if it happens, it happens. You're open to it with the right person in a dynamic in a situation that makes you feel comfortable. I just don't know how helpful it is to like analyze how little or how much sex we're having and pass judgment on ourselves because of what that number is. Like, you go through stages and phases in your life. Maybe in this phase of life, sharing intimacy with other people without a deeper connection is just not important to you. That's how I feel. Sex without a deeper connection is not important to me right now. So I masturbate a lot. I go on lots of dates. I sometimes hook up with people I go on dates with. I don't have penetrative sex with any of them because I don't want to. And that feels like that works for me right now. But who knows what'll work for me in a few months. All in all, I just don't think that we should judge ourselves for whatever our balance or breakdown is between like how often we masturbate and how often we fuck other people. I don't think it really matters. Whatever works for you, works for you. If you would like to date more, date more. If you want to fuck the people that you date, go off. If you don't, don't. I just don't think there's any like reason to criticize yourself or worry if it's a bad thing or not, because I don't think it is. You just don't want to. And that's fine. All right. Well, the sun's going down and I'm hungry as fuck. So I'm going to go make myself a pizza and watch a movie. Holy shit. I'm so fucking excited to do that. You have no idea. I've been so busy these last like 5 days. I've been coming home so late. Part of that's my fault. I like the one night that I had free this week, I scheduled myself to go on a date last minute. I was like, why did you do that? Whatever. I thought I looked really cute that day, in my defense. So once I got home early from the thing I was doing, I was like, and no one's going to kiss me when I look like this. I just had to go out and make sure someone made out with me. And don't worry, a made out was had. So yeah, I just haven't had no like true alone time to sit and relax and just do whatever I want. Like sit and watch TV. I've watched a lot of TV, listened to a lot of podcasts this week, but I've been cleaning or doing things every single time. I haven't been able to just like sit and do nothing and watch TV. So that's what I'm going to do. I'm very excited about it. So I'm going to get off here and go do that. Thank you guys so much for hanging with me. If you want to see more of me, I do have a YouTube channel. I love that I have to say that now because there's some of you that just found the show independently of my YouTube channel. I do make YouTube videos. My name is Maddie Drosbeck. You can find me at Maddie Drosbeck on Instagram. And I would love to see you all the other places that I do make content. Love you so much. I'll see you guys next week.